The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
York to try to win the game. The kick.
Oh, look at this.
There's the distance, and Cade York wins it for Cleveland.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, candidate Hugh Hewitt. And the 12th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2022. And my goodness, the Cleveland Browns have a kicker. Finally, 21-year-old Cade York. Hitting from 58 yards out with 8 seconds to go to beat Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers by 1 point. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I'm one of those people that wanted Baker to stay in Cleveland because I like the way the young man plays with passion and fire. And he played with passion and fire. So he had a great game. But the Browns had just a little bit more. And so the Browns have won their first game, their first opener of the season since 2004. That one was at home. It's their first away opening win since 1994. So the Browns haven't been 1-0 since 2004, and they haven't been 1-0 beginning away since 1994. It was a long time. There's a lot of news this weekend, but can I just hear that one more time, please? This is Jim Donovan in the booth.
York to try to win the game. The kick.
Oh, look at this.
There's the distance, and Cade York wins it for Cleveland.
I got to tell you, the reaction around Cleveland is, I'm on the air in a lot of different places. And so I truly understand that many of you don't care about Cleveland Browns football, but I'm on the air in Columbus and Cleveland, and I am a Buckeye, and I am a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder. And I tell you that because we have a new affiliate today. And it's always good to have a new affiliate. News Talk WNRI, Woonsocket, 1380 AM, 1999.9, always streaming online at WNRI.com. So I'm on in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It's a big deal. Big deal. It's the heart of Red Sox and Patriots and Celtics country. I mean, Boston is the heartbeat, but let's consider this sort of like what are appropriate internal organs to describe the Rhode Island audience as to the Patriots audience? If they're the heart, then the soul is in Rhode Island, because they've always been the most annoying of all Boston sports fans. And I love you, Woonsocket, and I appreciate 1380 AM, 99.9 FM, WNRI having me on. But I should tell you that Mike Sewerda, if you're listening, that's a good friend of mine from college days long away, who was the New England Pats fan back then. I do not like the Red Sox, and I do not like the Patriots, and I do not like the Celtics. Because they have always beaten the heck. You know, the Guardians, when they were the Indians, beat the Red Sox a couple of postseason series that were important, American League Championship Series, as I recall. They have lost to the Celtics in some amazing series, like the 1976 semifinals in NBA at the Garden, which my brother and I were at and were caught at by the plane dealer. Mom and Dad didn't know that that's how we were spending our beer money. On Celtics, Cavaliers tickets in the playoff then. But welcome aboard. Good to have you. Sports are only a tiny bit of this sports show. This is a new show. So let me get to the headlines, and I'll come back to the Cade York field goal in a little bit. The biggest headline of the weekend, of course, is coming out of Ukraine. We are saddened by the Queen Elizabeth's body passing from Balmoral through Scotland down to Edinburgh, where it will be moved on to London, I believe, today. By plane. It was a very heartwarming scene as her hearse carrying her body, and the roads were just lined, absolutely lined by people throughout the United Kingdom's Scottish territory. And her beloved subjects in Scotland turned out en masse. You know, they lost that move for Scottish independence within the decade, and the separatists want to have another go at it. But that show of love for Queen Elizabeth makes you think that's not going to happen. Biggest news is coming out of Ukraine, where Ukraine is just crushing the Russians in a counteroffensive that has shocked everyone. Headlines, Washington Post. Amid Ukraine's startling gains, liberated villages describe Russian troops dropping rifles and fleeing. New York Times, Ukraine routs Russian forces in northeast, forcing a retreat. Wall Street Journal, Ukraine's rout of Russia forces poses a challenge of how to exploit gains. Kyiv's latest offensive has returned more than 1,000 square miles to Ukrainian control. The headlines just go on and on and on. Exclusive in the Telegraph, Russian soldiers literally running for their lives as chain of command collapses. It's a rout. It's an absolute rout. The panicked Russian soldiers are abandoning their tanks, weapons, and even clothes as they literally run from their positions in the face of a shock Ukrainian offensive, soldiers have told the Telegraph. The Ukrainian intelligence unit on the front line said the Russian chain of command was broken. Soldiers were fleeing without putting up a fight, many of them changing into civilian clothes to avoid detention. A drone operator returning from the front line on Sunday also told the Telegraph that the speed of the offensive has even taken their own army by surprise, with troops struggling to recover the mountains of Russian ammunition and armored vehicles left behind. Watching the battle through reconnaissance drones and listening to Russian communications, the soldiers said Russian units were being obliterated before they had time to identify their enemy, while survivors fled the chaos. In one intercepted communication, a commander with the call sign Birdie described hearing a Russian tank ute desperately asking what happened to their command. "We are totally effed." When they fled, later they found their burned tank. This firsthand description of counteroffensive, one of the describing an ongoing operation, belies claims of Russian Defense Ministry that Moscow's retreat from, it sounds like Baghdad Bob, "We are regrouping." It's just a live updates. Ukraine blitz sends Russia forces into retreat, all over the New York Times. Fresh from seizing Izium, Ukraine appears to push toward more Russian-held territory. Some maps this morning have them gone all the way to the back to the Russian border. As Russian retreats, New York Times report, Putin is criticized by hawks who had trumpeted his war. Russian bloggers reporting from the front provide a uniquely less censored view of the war. But as Russia's military flails, the once vocal supporters are exposing its flaws, lies, and all. And then, finally, Ukraine's Reznikov, the defense minister, the Secretary of Defense for Ukraine, in essence, says that Kyiv needs to secure territory after a lightning offensive went better than expected. A counteroffensive liberates territory, and after that, you have to control it and be ready to defend it. Of course, we have to be worried this war will continue for years. So calls have increased across the world to please, please, please get weapons and resupply to Ukraine quickly. They are winning. If we had staged with them early on, expect Joe Biden to take a bow, because he always takes a bow about everything that remotely is good news on the world stage. If he had resupplied Ukraine earlier, faster, and with more, this could have been prevented. Putin would not have invaded. If Obama had said anything, Putin would not have made his first invasion back in 2004. But they're winning. Let's go with the winner. This audience stepped up with food for the poor to feed Ukrainian refugees. Now let's hope the United States government and Europe continues to do the right thing. It will in Sweden. Sweden went to the polls yesterday with 94% of the vote counted. It appears that the center right will have 176 seats to 173 for the center left. In a 349-seat parliament, I'm doing this for the Steelers fans who are probably a little hungover this morning because they beat the Bengals in overtime. They took me out of my only pool this year, my Deadpool. You just stay alive picking one game, no points, no gambling, just pick a game. And I picked the Bengals at home because that's one of the rules, the iron locks, the mortal locks, is that the Steelers are going to suck this year and that the Bengals are going to be good. And, of course, the Steelers won and took out half or more of the people, about 16,000 play in that pool. And it's the SEIN pool. And it's big and it's fun and it's funny. But I've never, ever lost in the first week, Bengals. Why would I ever bet on the Bengals? Swedish right, I didn't lose any money. I just, dignity. Dignity is gone among the people that participate in this. Swedish right looks like it's going to win. 176 seats out of 349 for the benefit of the Steelers fans is a majority. That's going to be it. White House alarm rises over Europe as Putin threatens energy supply. I think to myself, they ought to actually be worried about the United States where inflation continues. Pakistan is in a world of hurt, very dire, devastated by floods. Pakistan has a food crisis as well. I've mentioned to you that mourners lined the roads as Queen Scotland's coffin traveled throughout Scotland. A queen like no other begins her last great journey. It's a time of great symbolism. The Stone of Scone will return to England from Scotland for the coronation of King Charles. And Nebraska football fired coach Scott Frost one day after he was upset by Georgia Southern. I got to tell you, it was a weird weekend in college football. Not for Ohio State, which trumped on Arkansas State pretty handily and flashed a little bit of how good they are. But Alabama should not have gotten out of Texas with that win. I'll be right back, America, on a Monday morning. I'm always happy, especially when the Browns win on a 58-yard field goal in the last 8 seconds, which actually hasn't happened in the 23 years I've been on the road, on this air with you. And they were on the road. Stay tuned, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Welcome back, America. News Talk, WNRI in Woonsocket, 1380 AM, 99.9 FM. Always streaming online at WNRI.com. Let me introduce you to a weekly feature of the Hugh Hewitt Show. On Mondays, I get the injury report from Selena Zito, Washington Examiner column, New York Post columnist, columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, reporter extraordinaire, author of great books, and just a buddy. She is sadly a yinzer, and so to my friends in Rhode Island, it may not be possible for to translate yinzer into Rhode Island, but I'll do my best to do simultaneous translation. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning, sunshine. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I am here. I've got my earpiece on. The lady from Pittsburgh is saying that. Good morning, Rhode Island. Tell me, Selena, the Steelers won yesterday. Is everyone watching the Steelers again after the fall off that occurred during the nightmare years of kneeling on the sideline?
It's trickled back. I mean, they obviously did not lose a big portion of their fan base, but it still isn't what it was pre political gauge.
Yeah, pre Kaepernick PK and post K. It is a league much more sensitive to not doing anything dumb like that again.
Yeah.
And I don't think they sanction their players. I think they just tell them please keep it in the locker room because you're killing the golden goose. Yeah. Now, Selena, you wrote a wonderful moving remembrance of Shanksville and the passengers that fought back against the hijacking on 9/11. It was really a marvelous column. First thing I posted, maybe one of the few things I posted about 9/11, because there's a lot of imagery, but I like people to read about it. How was the reaction to that?
No, I received a lot of emails, a lot of direct messages. I really wanted to focus. Shanksville is not far from where I live, and it's the only place on September 11th outside of New York and Washington that was hit. But there was this makeshift memorial that began because I don't know this is a fact, but I assume this happened because the family members of the men and women that were on Flight 93, each brought something on September 17th when they went to visit the site, and they left it there. And all that was there was some mud and some hay that they put on top of this little mounded hill that overlooked the crash site. But within days, people started coming there, sort of like a pilgrimage almost, and they left a part of themselves there. And pretty soon there was a chain link fence, not one that enclosed anything, but almost like a wall. And then there was some white plywood. And kids would bring their football jerseys, their soccer jerseys. The Amish would come on their horse and buggies. People would leave pennies and jackets and rosary beads and prayer books, and the Boy Scouts would come and do the Pledge of Allegiance, and schools would come and sing, and there was always a bag of paper there for some reason. You know, I don't know if it's because it's Western Pennsylvania or what, but it was always such a moving scene and very meaningful.
And now it is a permanent memorial. I want people to understand that on 9/11, that came down close to Salinas. I was on the air on California doing morning drive from 6 to, I guess we went most of the day till 6 p.m. I took a three-hour break in the middle. But the awful nature of those events does begin to turn around. Americans begin to fight back on United Flight 93. They bring it down so that it cannot hit the Capitol, where the congressmen were gathered to sing. Not sure if it would have made it to D.C. Flights were going to intercept them physically. America's servicemen were standing in the way already. But they were the Let's Roll is a famous moving moment. And that's why I was glad you went to Shankville, Selena. Yeah. Now, the country didn't stop like it did on the 20th anniversary. This was the 21st. They'll do so again on 25 and on 30 and on 40 and on 50. But I just hope you keep reprinting that column. And I imagine you'll keep going back to Shankville.
Oh, I go to Shanksville several times a year. It's probably 25 minutes from my home, and it is always and always will be a very special place to me, because not just what happened there and what the people did, but also how people came from everywhere to honor the people that were on Flight 93 and tried to stop whatever was going to happen with that plane.
Yeah. Todd, the Wheaton graduate, Let's Roll. SelenaZito.com for my new listeners on Woonsocket 1380 AM 99.9 News Talk WNRI. Go and get SelenaZito.com. If you subscribe, she'll send you everything she writes. You can also just get a Google alert. She'll show up in the New York Post, the Washington Examiner, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and wherever people want to think seriously about what's going on in Pennsylvania and the world. And I do. And we'll go back to the campaign next week, because she's got covering Fetterman Oz and Oz's surge better than anybody I know. Stay tuned, America. More on Kamala Harris. The border is secure. The border is secure. Because that's just so crazy. 1-800-520-1234. Your calls are welcome on your reaction to Kamala Harris saying up is down, blue is red, and the border is secure. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Stay with us. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Don't forget the Battleground Tour in October, coming to an affiliate near you. The Salem Talkers are out talking about 2022, the election ahead. BattlegroundTour.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Dwayne Patterson, producer of The Hugh Hewitt Show. I've known for a while now that there's been far too much of me here in the studio, and I finally needed to do something about my weight. My excuse was always that I couldn't follow a plan with the crazy schedule that I keep. I heard about PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and how they customize their program for each client, and I decided to call. This was no problem for Rachel and the PhD team. They had me map out what my day looks like and created a plan to follow. And so far, I've lost 16 pounds already, and I'm just 2 weeks in, on the way to my goal of losing 45. Call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition at 864-644-1900 and make your appointment for your consultation. The plan is simple. It's based on science and nutrition. There's no pills or injections, and they even include 80% of your food if you want it. Call them right now at 864-644-1900 or find them online at myphdweightloss.com. And tell them you heard about it from Dwayne, the producer Hugh actually has on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
All the border secure.
I think that there is no question that we have to do what the president and I asked Congress to do. Is the first request we make, pass a bill to create a pathway to citizenship. The border is secure, but we also have a broken immigration system, in particular over the last 4 years before we came in, and it needs to be fixed.
We're going to have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border is secure?
We have a secure border. In that
morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Hugh Hewitt live this morning from Midcoast, Maine. Good morning to News Talk WNRI, Woonsocket 1380 AM and 99.9 FM. Brand new affiliate joining last week's brand new affiliate, News Talk 94.3 KYLS in Frederickstown, Missouri. I want to tell you, whether you're in Rhode Island or whether you're in Missouri, you always want to be on a Monday morning with me at this hour, because Jake Sherman of Punchbowl News comes and tells us what's ahead in Congress. If you are not a subscriber to Punchbowl News, go there right now and get their free morning newsletter. First thing I read in the morning is news items by John Ellis. Second thing is Punchbowl News, and I know what's going on in the world and what's going on in D.C. Good morning, Jake Sherman. The Browns won on a last-second field goal from 58 yards. I think that should have dominated Punchbowl News this morning, and it didn't.
we don't have a punchable news sports section, Hugh. So I think once we do that, we'll be heading in the wrong direction. So
Jake, that's not sporting news. That's cultural. That's like a Haley's Comet. We haven't seen the Browns win a home opener since 2000. I mean, the first game since 2004, and they haven't won away their first game since 1994. It's like Haley's Comet. Would you not report on Haley's Comet?
We would, but you know, maybe we should reexamine our cultural coverage. But good for the Browns and the Washington Commanders got a first game victory. So that's right.
I admit I missed that. I after I absorbed all my Browns stuff yesterday, I stopped watching. Jake, let's go to Kamala Harris. I played the clip that was heard around the world. It will be played 1,000 times today. Chuck Todd, two neutral questions. Is the border secure? And 2 million people are coming across the border. Is the border secure? And the vice president, the short version, cut number, whatever the short version is, cut number 11, I think it is, please.
Would you call the border secure?
The border is secure. We have a secure border.
Okay, that's edited. All right, Jake, what do you think of that?
I think a lot of people would disagree with that assessment. I think there's no question that there's challenges at the border. I think there's no question that, and Democrats, by the way, we've seen recently, Henry Cuellar, a Democrat from the border in Texas, has said in an ad he's working to secure the border, meaning it's not secure as of now. And I think most people, the majority of Congress would disagree with that assessment.
Yeah, Jake, if I'm the vice president and I get asked that question, I would say, Chuck, we are very well away on a day-by-day basis of the number of people crossing the border. You don't have to tell me I'm ahead of you on that. The combination of political instability and violence in Central America with the shattering effects of COVID and unprotected societies, along with inflation that Putin's war touched off, has led to a northward migration that we are struggling because of the previous administration's gaps in the border patrol that we have not yet been able to resume control. But I would not simply deny the reality. You would excuse the reality, right, Jake?
Well, I think the irony of the whole situation is everybody kind of understands what an eventual, if there ever is an eventual package to immigration package would look like. It would be increased border patrol security, both interior probably and at the border, coupled with some sort of pathway to citizenship and other changes to the immigration laws. That is not controversial. I think what the last administration did vis-a-vis the border wall, I think that was they personalized it in a way that didn't really make sense. This administration has not really focused fully on the border because of a whole host of other issues. But what you just said is what most politicians have said, some version of that over the last
year. I'm just talking about the vice president's inarticulate inability to answer even a question that should have been anticipated. I do disagree. The wall has been an objective of mine since 2004. W campaigned on it. John McCain campaigned on it in the last two elections. Everybody in the Republican Party believes in a border wall, not because it will be effective completely, because it will stop 95% of people and send a message. But Jake Sherman, that's not going to happen this Congress. In fact, nothing's going to happen except a continuing resolution. And maybe the marriage bill. Would you give us the assessment of a CR getting done and of a marriage bill getting to the floor? Because I haven't seen the language of the Collins-Baldwin Religious Liberty Amendment yet, which is the key to the latter.
There's no language on that yet. That will be coming out, we assume, this week. If there's a deal to be had, it'll get done this week. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, has not said which way he would vote on a same-sex marriage legislation. A continuing resolution to fund the government will happen through December 16th. When it will happen is a different question, and what gets added into it is a big question, including that if that marriage amendment makes it in, and furthermore, whether there's money for Ukraine, for COVID, for monkeypox. All those things are subject of very intense negotiations at the moment. But I think a CR will get done. I don't think they're going to shut down the government. On the marriage thing, I could see it going either way. I mean, it did seem like there was momentum before the recess. I don't have a sense of where the momentum is now, and a lot will depend on whether McConnell is for this legislation or not.
Now, Jake, I'm going to have Joe O'Day on, who is in some polls ahead of Michael Bennett, Colorado senator. So Joe O'Day, the Republican. I'm going to have Herschel on later in the week. In some polls, he's ahead of Raphael Warnock. In many polls, Adam Laxalt is ahead of Ocasio-Cortez in Nevada. It depends on who Maggie Hassan draws. I think Chuck Morse will beat her, and I don't think anyone else will. And Democrats are pouring money into the Bulldog race because they want Bulldog to, Democrats want Bulldog to be nominated in another massive intervention backfired in Colorado when Joe O'Day won anyway. But tell me this. If Bobby Ossoff, John Ossoff, is in India, as you tell me in Punch Bowl this morning, COVID shutdown in India, and you've got people like Bennett and Ocasio-Mastro and Raphael Warnock and Hassan on the road, how in the world does the Senate operate 50-50?
I do think that Ossoff will be on his way home in the next couple of days. I think that the COVID quarantine of some of those other folks is expiring pretty soon, so I think they'll be back to full strength. And listen, they have time. They have a couple of weeks both to get the CR done and the marriage amendment. The marriage legislation is not not subject to any deadlines. So there's time to get all this stuff done once the Senate's back at full strength, but they do need most of those people back to get some of this stuff done.
But when does the Senate go out for good? I mean, it is campaign season, and these senators who are endangered want to be in their states.
Goes out for good, theoretically, technically, after the first week of October, but I don't anticipate that they'll be here till the first week of October. I think they'll do the next couple of weeks, get the CR done, and be out by the end of September.
All right, Jake, this is a ambience atmosphere question. The Democrats had a dead cat bounce in August. They thought that passing the massive Inflation Reduction Act, which was a big spending bill, they thought the student loan bailout would work. They thought the president's red wedding speech in Philadelphia was going to work. It didn't. He went backwards. Are they beside them? What's the mood among Democrats? They had their bounce and it didn't last.
They feel like they are in good position. They feel like their candidates are outrunning the president in most places. The president, of course, is not on the ballot, although his policies are, his leadership is. But, I mean, listen, in a state like New Hampshire, they believe that Hassan's running ahead of Biden, and they think all around the country they see that. Now, Republicans say that this is temporary, and everything is going to bounce back to the mean in the next couple of weeks, which is going to show Republicans winning the House and the Senate being a toss-up. I think there's in between those two is probably the truth, but I think Republicans don't make much of this bounce.
The Arizona Senate race, the Emerson poll came out yesterday, Mark Kelly up 2 over Blake Masters. Now, that was the one they were supposed to be romping in. I mean, they were, and they're not. And I'll tell you what, Jake, when they have to say we're outrunning the president, who's at 38% in one poll last week, that's not saying much, is it?
No, it's not. In order to win re-election, you need to be significantly outrunning the president since the president's at 38%. Now, that poll in Arizona seems to be a bit of an outlier because Kelly does have a little bit larger of a margin in most other polls. But your point's well taken, and we'll have to see, especially in a state like Arizona, whether the NRSC and the Senate GOP Super PAC are going to put any money behind Masters.
Yeah, Jake is right. The Real Clear Politics average is 4 points right now, but the last three have been +2, +6, +4 for Kelly in Emerson, Fox 10, and Trafalgar. I'm telling you, that's going to be a nail biter. Arizona, get out there and go to work. Thank you, Jake Sherman. We will see you next week. As always, go to punchbowlnews.com. My new listeners in Rhode Island and Missouri, if you want to get a free newsletter every morning on what's going on in D.C., punchbowlnews.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
wins it for Cleveland.
And I do not understand, America, any news outlet, Axios or anybody else, not leading the news with the Browns winning in the last 8 seconds on a 58-yard field goal by a rookie kicker, Cade York, out of LSU. But Josh Kroshauer is here to answer for the Axios malpractice. Josh, there's only one story. It's the Browns.
Well, I watched some of that game, the final few minutes. And look, the Browns never have had a good kicker. I don't think they've ever had a kicker that has made a 58-yard field goal. And the fact that it's always a risk to put a draft pick on a kicker. I think he was a fourth rounder out of LSU.
Fourth rounder. Yeah.
I mean, that's looking like a good pick. That's looking like a good front office.
I think analytics are going to realize kickers win. They had Phil Dawson, who was gold, like the Ravens kicker is now. But it's been 20 years since we had Phil Dawson, and we had other Don Cock. Oh, we had great kickers. Lou Groza defines the Browns, but not for about 15 years. Okay, Josh Kroshauer, I've got new affiliates in Rhode Island, new affiliates in Missouri. They don't know you. We do politics. You're objective. I look at the Friday polls at Real Clear Politics. Kelly up 2, Kelly up 6 in Arizona. Hobbs up 1 in Arizona. Hochul only up 15 in New York. That's odd. Vermont, the Republican, is crushing it in the governor's race. I mean, just crushing it. And I think the generic congressional ballot with the Republicans up 4 is the most interesting thing from Rasmussen. What's your take on where the election numbers are going right now?
Well, look, I just got back from both Pennsylvania and New Hampshire, covering both of those big Senate races. New Hampshire is picking a Republican nominee tomorrow. Pennsylvania, it's the big matchup between Fetterman and Oz. I would keep a close eye on Pennsylvania. Oz is closing the gap. I mean, the numbers, August always provides a whole lot of polls that are a little bit premature, a little bit not reflective of where the race ultimately will be. And Oz is getting a lot of money from all the traditional Republican groups. I reported in Axios today that the Chamber of Commerce is putting $3 million in to SLS, to the Senate Leadership Fund, to help Dr. Oz's campaign. Republicans are now actually pretty united in Pennsylvania, and Fetterman still is struggling, not doing a whole lot of campaign events and not accepting a debate quite yet, which is resonant. I mean, it's taking a toll, I think, on his campaign. So if Pennsylvania is one of those bellwether states. The way Pennsylvania goes, I think, is going to be very reflective of where this Senate majority goes. And I think that one's going to be a whole lot closer than people thought a few weeks ago.
I actually think Hochul is going to win in a walk. And this is Hugh Hewitt talking, not a poll. I just think he's going to win in a walk, that people don't talk to pollsters in Georgia. They love Hochul. They've known him for 35, 40 years. Yeah, he's a very nice guy. Warnock wouldn't debate him in Savannah. Walker won't debate Warnock elsewhere. They're not going to have a debate. It's just going to be Republican, Democrat, straight up. And then Karl Rove was on last week. He thinks Adam Laxalt's the best bet to take a seat away. And then we have got, you know, we still got Arizona, which is matches within a couple. And you got Maggie Hassan, who will win if Baldock is nominated. But she could face a very difficult uphill race if Chuck Morse wins tomorrow, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story in New Hampshire. Whoever Republicans nominate is going to dictate the trajectory of that race. I actually spent some time with Don Baldock, who, you know, a general. He was doing a town hall. He's in a lot of these town halls in New Hampshire where he talks like a military man. He kind of barks out his anger at what's going on in Washington. But his view, when you actually press him on some of his views on some issues, they're going to be fodder for Democrats to really capitalize on. One specific example, He doesn't think that we should be involved in Ukraine, when I asked him. He said that in his town hall. I pressed him on it after this event he did, and he was adamant that we shouldn't be continuing any engagement in Ukraine and helping the Ukrainians until we have a better, more specific plan, he said. And that was given everything that's been going on in Ukraine over the last few days. So that's one example on an issue where, if he's the nominee, I think he might not be ready for prime time.
Oh, he will lose. He will lose. I'm not going to spend a minute on that race, and I cover New Hampshire. He will lose. If Chuck Morse is in that race, I cover it every day.
Right. But that is a seat that would be thrown away, because if you have a more mainstream Republican like Chuck Morse, that's a toss-up. That's a very competitive race. So that is what Republicans have been worried about all cycle. It's not the environment as much as it is the candidates. Arizona, I still think Masters has a lot of challenges in a purple state like that. New Hampshire, we just talked about. But I do think Pennsylvania is going to be looking a little bit more favorable for them. Wisconsin is looking a lot better for Republicans. So the path in Nevada, you mentioned Nevada, that is what Republicans believe is their best pickup opportunity on the Senate map. So that's the
now, path. Josh, I played Kamala Harris punting or just lying. The border is secure. The border is secure. Yesterday, she's co-hosting the show with Cade York today. I'm playing two clips over and over again. Does it matter if the vice president just flat out lies to the country and they know that she's lying? The border is not secure.
Well, look, hey, Vice President Harris, I mean, she was given that kind of responsibility to talk about the border, to talk about some of her relationships with Central American countries, and that has not been, I mean, that's been a big problem. She's been unable to really convince voters that's a strength of hers. So, yeah, that's always going to be a vulnerability. Well, ultimately, though, this is going to be about Biden. It's going to be about the Democratic message, and it's going to be about these Republican candidates running in D.C. Senate race.
It's going to be ultimately about affordability and crime. That's the two things that has pushed it, everything else out of the way. Pro-life activists, pro-abortion activists are not happy with that issue set. They wish people were only concerned about Dobbs. That's not happening. Follow Josh Krasher on Twitter. Go and subscribe to the Morning Update from Axios. It's free. And listen to him every single week. So my new friends in Woonsocket and in Missouri, Josh is here every single Monday. I'll be right back for hour 3 of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm playing Apocalypse Now music, of course, The Flight of the Valkyrie, because Wesley Hunt, who's going to be a new congressman from Texas, is a Hilo pilot, as is Jen Kiggins, as is our friend from up north in Michigan. I got to remember his name from last week. There are going to be three new helicopter pilots in the Congress, Wesley Hunt among them. Good morning, Wesley. Welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir? Thank you so much for having me on.
Did you ever fly with Tom Barrett, our Michigan friend?
I did not fly with Tom Barrett, but I can assure you that I'm probably a better pilot than
you. Okay, well, that goes without saying, but Jen Kiggins probably is going to say that the Navy Hilo pilots are better than both of you.
Hey, I know, right?
So we're going to be able to get Congress at least moving around the country faster with three Hilo pilots. Tell me something, Wesley, about your district. We got new audiences today in Rhode Island and Missouri, brand new affiliates. They don't know you. They don't know me. But tell them where your district is. Tell them why you're running. Tell them how they can help.
Absolutely. Well, right now, I'm running in Congressional District 38. It's a newly drawn district that was just placed in Texas. Texas got two new congressional seats, one from California and one from New York. So you're welcome, America. I think that's probably a good choice.
That is good.
In this district, the entire energy corridor is encompassed in the greater Houston area. Houston's kind of known as the energy capital of the world, and in it is the energy corridor that's entirely in my district. So that will make me the energy congressman of the world, because every single energy company has a major play and it's entirely in my district. So I have a mandate. My top priority is to preserve the oil and gas industry. And what I've been doing is traveling the country on a Save American Energy tour. So go to saveamericanenergy.com and you'll find out that we are traveling the country to put a face to the industry, talking to people that work in the industry, talk about how it's reducing our carbon footprint, talk about how our ability to have energy independence is an issue of national security, and we are making sure that we're fighting the left with this rhetoric that we are all nasty, bad people that want to pollute the earth, when really, we are the ones that want to save it.
Now, you know, Wesley Hunt, you're the first congressional candidate I've had on who did not give their website before they gave their documentary site, so kudos to you. But how do people give you money?
WesleyForTexas.com. That's my site, WesleyForTexas.com. We will take all the help that we can get to make sure that we keep this seat red.
Yeah, now this seat should be a Republican seat. You should be joining, but you got to take care of the P's and the Q's. SavingAmericanEnergy.com is the documentary, and that's his website, the other website. Now, Wesley, in terms of the general temperature, Democrats tried to pretend like they got a bounce in August. They didn't get a bounce in August. That's a dead cat bounce in Wall Street terms. What did you see happen in August?
Well, in August, let's keep in mind that polls tend to tighten around that time no matter what. So I wouldn't call it a bounce. I would call it people are getting more engaged and are paying closer attention. But the bottom line is this. In my lifetime, this is the worst inflation I've seen in my lifetime. This is the highest gas prices I've seen in my lifetime. We have mothers that are having an issue with getting baby formula for their children. We have wars breaking out all over the world that we didn't see 4 years ago under the Trump administration. And I think this is what's on the ballot. People are not stupid. People are paying attention. And this country has fallen apart in just 20 short months. And that's what's going to be on the ballot in November.
Now, Wesley Hunt, yesterday, the vice president of the United States was on with Chuck Todd. And I want to play the long version for Wesley. It takes about a minute, but it is cut number 10. No, cut number 8. No, cut number 11, long version.
Would you call the border secure?
I think that there is no question that we have to do what the president and I asked Congress to do. Is the first request we made, pass a bill to create a pathway to citizenship. The border is secure, but we also have a broken immigration system, in particular over the last 4 years before we came in, and it needs to be fixed.
We're going to have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border is secure?
We have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration. But there are still a lot of problems that we are trying to fix, given the deterioration that happened over the last 4 years.
All right, Wesley Hunt, that's the Vice President of the United States denying reality, not knowing, and I can't believe anyone is that ignorant, or simply lying twice. What do you think of that answer?
So her answer was a bold-faced lie. We have had 4.5 million people enter our country illegally. We have had enough fentanyl to enter our country to kill every American 5 times. She was made the, quote, border czar, and she has still not been down to the border. How can she know that there's a problem when she was put in charge of something and she refuses to leave from the front? Sir, look, I'm a military guy. I went to West Point. My brother went to West Point. My sister went to West Point. My dad's a retired colonel in the Army. There's 60 years worth of service in my immediate family. We know what leadership looks like. When you're put in charge of something, be in charge of it. So to sit there and listen to the vice president lie to the American people on this issue is nauseating. But she's also assuming that the American people are stupid. She's also assuming that we don't have a governor sending busloads of immigrants to other cities because we are all border states. We all have to deal with illegal immigration. And she is saying that it's not an issue. And being right down here in Houston, Texas, I'm telling you, it's a problem. It continues to be a problem, and it must stop. The first priority is not immigration reform. The first priority needs to be to stop illegal immigration in our country.
Well said, Wesley Hunt. Now, let me ask you a few Army-related questions. Question number one is something of a diversion. My Navy son is engaged to be married to the daughter of an Army colonel. What do you recommend he do on Army-Navy days?
If he's a smart man, he'll just back Army and just call it a day.
I don't think that's going to happen. Second question, very serious. What year did you graduate from West Point? Because we celebrated, or we remember, we don't celebrate. We saluted the victims of 9/11 on the 21st anniversary yesterday. You obviously were not in the military in 2001. You're too young. But when did you enter into service?
I was actually at West Point in 2000. So I graduated class of 2004. So when 9/11 happened, I was a sophomore at West Point. And I knew that we were going to go to war. And the one thing that I'm very proud of my class of is this. You know, your first 2 years at the military academy are actually free. You don't owe anything, so you can leave whenever you want. So as a sophomore, we had a choice. If we stayed at West Point and graduated, we knew that we're all going to go to war, and the overwhelming majority of my class stayed. It's actually one of the most proudest moments I've ever seen in my life for us to graduate, throw our hats in the air, and to know that within the next year or two, we're going to be in combat.
I didn't know that. I did not know you could leave West Point without obligation after 2 years. That's pretty incredible, Wesley Hunt. Now, we also remembered yesterday or this weekend and for the last 2 weeks, the fall of Afghanistan 1 year ago. Is that come up on the campaign trail much?
It comes up on the campaign trail for me, sir, almost daily. Uh-oh. Because people kind of want to know. People just kind of want to know what happened. And how come during the Trump administration, we had no issues in Afghanistan? Literally, we had peace in the Middle East. We had the Abraham Accords. We moved the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. We did all these things right. And then within just 1 year, everything fell apart. And we lost 13 brave Americans because of the incompetence of this administration. And so people want to know, what are we going to do to get our country back? Not just in terms of domestic issues, which obviously are the most important to us, but they also want to see how can we regain the respect and our prominence on a global scale as well.
Now, Wesley Hunt, that's very well put. In the Trump administration, because the deranged blue bubble syndrome for people who live in the Beltway, all they talk about is January 6th, Mar-a-Lago documents, how much they hate Trump.
Right.
They don't reflect on the fact that Afghanistan did not fall under Trump, nor would he have allowed it to fall this way. And right. there was peace in the Middle East, and we had energy independence. That's all 20 months ago. I don't think Democrats right. realize that you can't fool the American people.
That's exactly right. And especially down here in Houston, especially on the energy independence side of things, and what we're seeing now in Europe, and what we're seeing with now European countries now burning more coal, they're already chopping wood. So if we're doing all of this in the name of climate change, we are literally giving away our energy independence and our ability to fuel the world with what we have right here in our country, which is an abundant resource of natural gas, oil. We're sitting on the Permian Basin, the Marcellus Shale, the Eagle Ford Shale, Alaska. It's absolutely remarkable what we have here, and it makes absolutely no sense to the average American person as to why we would give all that up in the name of climate change when India and China and Russia and other major countries honestly don't care about the climate.
No,
if we can't do it together as a globe, then it makes no sense for us to crater our economy in the name of climate change when it's actually not going to change, because by the time I get off this call with you, sir, China would have built another coal plant. That's what needs to be addressed.
Wesley for Texas, W-E-S-L-E-Y-F-O-R for Texas. I do that for the Steelers fans, Wesley. WesleyForTexas.com. But I want to close by bringing an Economist story up this morning. The Economist is opining against Norway because Norway is pumping a lot of oil to try and help the rest of Europe out, and they're charging the market rate. They're not discounting it. And the Economist, that's crazy. The markets are international. Markets are markets.
That's right.
The only way to affect them is to produce more oil, like in Texas.
That's exactly correct. And if it's a global commodity, a globally traded commodity, that the price is set globally, why in God's name will we end the Keystone XL pipeline? Why in God's name would we be taking barrels of oil offline when we are the country that can actually impact the price of oil if we just, I don't know, drill more? If we actually use the resources that we have right here in our country. You know, I visited EQT up in the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania, and the capacity that they can create if they just had more pipeline and less permitting and fewer regulations would be remarkable. We can literally fuel the entire world with just Pennsylvania and West Virginia. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Joe.
Conversations. Yes, sir, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Joe Manchin has promised permitting reform. I'm not sure he's going to get it, and it's not going to apply anywhere but West Virginia. But you just put your finger on it. We need pipelines. We need pipelines, Wesley.
Yes, we need pipeline capacity. Pipeline capacity.
Wesley for Texas. WESLEYFOR Texas.com. Go there, help him out. It's the you're running through the. I know you're going to run through the tape, Wesley. Thank you, my friend. Come back again before the election, Wesley Hunt for Texas. What a great congressman he's going to be. Do we have time to play? Yes, we do. Let's play that Cade York kick again, please. Cut number one.
York to try to win the game. The kick.
Oh, look at this!
There's the distance, and Cade York wins it for Cleveland.
58-yarder. What a leg. What a strong leg. Come back. Joe O'Dea is going to be the next senator from Colorado. He's America's candidate. We'll tell you why when we return. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Joe O'Dea has become America's candidate. The self-made businessman is running for Senate in the United States Senate in Colorado against the invisible senator, Michael Bennett. Has really turned heads. Most recently, Karl Rove on this show saying Joe O'Dea is the upset special. He had just done an event with him. Joe O'Dea is back. Good morning, Joe. Welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hugh, it's great to be here with you this morning. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Carl, of course, is a native Coloradan, and he has come often to that state to campaign for Wayne Allard or Bill Armstrong or Cory Gardner. He knows a winner when he sees it. How was that event with Rove?
Oh, it was fantastic. In fact, we had a great time. We had 80 people show up, 90 at a different event we did. He's coming back here at the end of the month, so we're looking forward to seeing him again.
Now, Joe, how is the money situation? Schumer's got hundreds of millions of dollars. He's trying to take out Maggie Hassan's best opponent, Chuck Morse, tomorrow. He doesn't want Chuck Morse to win the primary. He tried to do the same thing to you. You won. I'm hoping Chuck Morse wins. But has Schumer let up since he missed getting you the first time?
No, they'll outspend it 6-1. You know, they dumped $10 million into my race here trying to promote a candidate that they also called a threat to democracy. The hypocrisy is unbelievable, Hugh. They'll do whatever they can to stay in power.
Now, I got to play for you the short version of Kamala Harris yesterday talking to Chuck Todd on NBC. Cut number, short version of the last cut.
Would you call the border secure?
The border is secure. We have a secure border.
Okay, Joe O'Day, they were a fair, you know, curveball, hanging curveballs for her to answer. Instead, she said the border is secure. What do you think about that?
Well, not only has the president got some issues, she's delusional. You talk to the people down on the border, over 2 million come across so far this year. We've got fentanyl at an all-time high. It's killed 1,800 Coloradans in this past year. This is tragic, and now we've got cartels running the border. They're up here in our neighborhoods, crime at an all-time high. She's just delusional. That she can't be figuring. I mean, it's just unbelievable that she can't see it.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a guy who had enough time to watch the Veep series when it was on, but she is actually out Veeping Julia Louis-Dreyfus. That's just incredible, Joe O'Day. When you talk to people, I think they're talking about affordability, inflation, crime, and the border. Am I wrong?
You're spot on. That's exactly what's going on up here. This inflation thing they've got, you know, it's as if working Americans here are working an entire month right now, Hugh, for free. We've lost 10% of our buying power in the course of just 1 year. That's a tax, and that's been placed on us by the reckless spending coming out of the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C.
Now, Joe, I'm looking for your website, and I'll find it here. It's O'Day for Colorado, O-D-E-A-F-O-R, Colorado. Is that
it's JoeO'Day.com, JoeO'Day.com.
I love a candidate who's on top of it. O'Day for Colorado is your Twitter handle. JoeO'Day.com is where people go to contribute to the campaign and to get involved. You got to have a legion of volunteers to win in Colorado, Joe. Have you got them?
Oh, man, we've put together a huge coalition here in Colorado. It's good Trump supporters, GOP supporters, a lot of unaffiliated. We've got a lot of Democrats that have jumped on board. They're disenchanted. Their party has left them. They want some common sense. And we're going to march to the finish line here in November.
You know, Joe, I had a chance to chat with a guy who's a heavy equipment operator down in Florida, Mark, if he's listening, telling me about, you know, keeping people on the job, finding people to work. You employ 300 people. You support 300 families with your construction company. But what about labor? Is labor back in abundant supply for skilled craftsmen?
No, it's tough right now. We're really having a hard time finding people. We need to get them off the couch. We need to make sure that they show up for work. We're making it too easy not to work here in Colorado, and that's a problem. We need these people back in the workforce. That's good for America.
And two last questions. You mentioned fentanyl, Joe. Parents who have been stricken by this with children who've died, I know some of them, and they come up and they talk to me all the time about it. How often does it come up on the campaign trail? Because it is a border issue.
It's come up several times. My wife and I have two of our best friends lost their daughter here 3 years ago. So it strikes families very close. It's all over Colorado. It's the meth. It's the fentanyl. It's all of it. We've got to get these addictions under control. We need help with mental health. We need help to get these people moving forward. And we've also got to close this border. It should be our number one priority right now.
And the last question is about crime, Joe O'Day, because I know inflation comes up. People can't afford groceries. It's going to come up. And I know the voter comes up. What about crime?
Well, it's record here in Colorado. We're the number one state for cocaine convictions. We're the number one state for auto theft. Can you imagine, Hugh, 4,000 vehicles a month are being stolen here in Colorado?
Wow.
And they've made that a misdemeanor. Nobody's being held accountable. And this is all on the watch of liberals that are changing our government and making it easier to be a criminal. And it's got to end.
4,000 cars a month in Colorado are ripped off?
4,000 cars. Unbelievable.
JoeO'Day.com. Go and help him out. He's America's candidate. It's like being America's team, the Cleveland Browns. Joe O'Day is America's candidate. Comes out of nowhere. throws the fear of God into the Democrats. They throw $10 million to beat him in the primary. Doesn't work, and now Joe O'Dea is going to win in Colorado. Get behind him, Rocky Mountain State. We need you, Centennial State. JoeO'Dea.com. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Generalissimo. Thanks, all of you, for listening, especially in Woonsocket, Fredericktown. It's all great to have you. Come back tomorrow for the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.